Chapter 42. Hurrying away from Mr. K's to my second test, I reflected that if I had to be more than an hour late for an appointment, it was a lucky thing that my next call was at the Huggles. The four brothers and their families ran a herd which, with cows, followers and calves, must have amounted to nearly 200, and I had to test the lot of them. But I knew that my lateness wouldn't bring any querulous remarks on my head, because the Huggles had developed the Dales tradition of courtesy to an extraordinary degree. The stranger within their gates was treated like royalty. As I drove into the yard, I could see everybody leaving their immediate tasks and advancing on me with beaming faces. The brothers were in the lead, and they stopped opposite me as I got out of the car, and I thought, as I always did, that I had never seen such healthy-looking men. Their ages ranged from Walter, who was about 60, down through Thomas and Fenwick, to William the youngest, who would be in his late 40s, and I should say their average weight would be about 15 stones. They weren't fat either, just huge, solid men with bright red shining faces and clear eyes. William stepped forward from the group, and I knew what was coming. This was always his job. He leant forward, suddenly solemn, and looked into my face.
"How are you today, sir?"
he asked. "Very well, thank you, Mr. Huggill," I replied.
"Good,"
said William fervently, and the other brothers all repeated,
"Good, good, good,"
with deep satisfaction. William took a deep breath.
"And how is Mr. Farnan?"
"Oh, he's very fit, thanks."
"Good."
Then the rapid fire of the responses from behind him.
"Good, good, good."
William hadn't finished yet. He cleared his throat.
"And how is young Mr. Farnan?"
"In really top form."
"Good."
But this time, William allowed himself a gentle smile, and from behind him came a few dignified
ho-hos.
Walter closed his eyes and his great shoulders shook silently. They all knew Tristan. William stepped back into line, his appointed task done, and we all went into the byre. I braced myself as I looked at the long row of backs, the tails swishing at the flies. There was some work ahead here.
"Sorry I'm so late," I said as I drew the tuberculin into the syringe. "I was held up at the last place. It's difficult to foresee how long these tests will take."
All four brothers replied eagerly.
"Ah, you're right, sir. It's difficult. It is difficult. You're right, it's difficult."
They went on till they thrashed the last ounce out of the statement. I finished filling the syringe, got out my scissors, and began to push my way between the first two cows. It was a tight squeeze, and I puffed slightly in the stifling atmosphere.
"It's a bit warm in here," I said.
Again the volley of agreement.
"You're right, sir, aye, it's warm, it is warm, you're right, it's warm, it's warm, aye, aye, you're right."
This was all delivered with immense conviction and vigorous nodding of heads, as though I had made some incredible discovery. And as I looked at the grave, intent faces still pondering over my brilliant remark, I could feel my tensions beginning to dissolve. I was lucky to work here. Where else but in the high country of Yorkshire would I meet people like these? I pushed along the cow and got hold of its ear, but Walter stopped me with a gentle cough.
"Name is Harriet. You won't have to look in the ears. I have all the numbers wrote down."
"Oh, well, that's fine. It'll save us a lot of time."
I had always found scratching the wax away to find ear tattoos an overrated pastime. And it was good to hear that the Huggills were attending to the clerical side. There was a section in the ministry form which said, "Are the herd records in good order?" I always wrote yes, keeping my fingers crossed as I thought of the scrawled figures on the backs of old bills, milk recording sheets, anything.
"Aye,"
said Walter.
"I have them all set down, proper, in a book."
"Great. Can you go and get it then?"
"No need, sir. I have it here."
Walter was the boss, there was no doubt about it. They all seemed to live in perfect harmony, but when the chips were down, Walter took over automatically. He was the organizer, the acknowledged brains of the outfit. The battered trilby which he always wore, in contrast with the others' caps, gave him an extra air of authority. Everybody watched respectfully as he slowly and deliberately extracted a spectacle case from an inside pocket.
He opened it and took out an old pair of steel-rimmed spectacles, blowing away fragments of the hay and corn chaff with which the interior of the case was thickly powdered.